Time to get up and at 'em. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We're back simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Happy Saturday, everybody. September 21st. It's football season, baby. So you know we're going to talk about the Washington Commanders. They're going to dominate the show today. I'm Adam Epstein. We got Max running the ones and twos behind the glass. What's up, Max? How are you today?
Doing all right, A-Lot. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good morning. Phone lines are open throughout the show. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You can always tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. There's a couple really good college football games today featuring teams from the state of Virginia, so we'll do a little university drive, as I do every week on my daily radio show. JMU is at UNC. Big test for Bob Chesney in his first season with the Dukes. Rutgers at Virginia Tech, part of their three-game revenge tour. They knocked off Marshall, got revenge on ODU last week. Can they get revenge on Rutgers at home, Lane Stadium? And then UVA at Coastal Carolina, big game for UVA if they want to go to a bowl this season. Plus, we've got the rest of an awesome Week 4 college football slate as things are really going to start getting interesting in the next few weeks as we get ready for the first 12-team college football playoffs reveal, right? So the College Football Selection Committee this year will still compile its weekly top 25 evaluating and ranking teams, right? Well, the first of the six rankings this season will be on November 6th, and the final one will be on December 8th, the day before the playoff bracket is revealed. I'm telling you, it's going to be a ton of fun. It's going to be a shocker when it gets revealed because, as we know, one team from outside of the power conferences will be invited. I think there's going to be a lot of SEC, a lot of Big Ten. We'll see how it plays out, but I'm looking forward to it. Texas, the number one team in the country right now. Well, they're without their starting quarterback, Quinn Ewers, dealing with an oblique injury. So, we'll have the most talked about college football backup quarterback in the country, Arch Manning, get his first career start today. He rushed for 67-yard touchdown last week. Also threw really good through the air as well. It wasn't the greatest competition, and he's not facing the greatest competition today. But it's going to be a big moment for the young Manning, Arch Manning, replacing the injured Quinn Ewers. So we'll talk a little college football on the show today. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. But I wanted to start the show by discussing a National Football League topic that's been discussed nationwide, but the focus is not on one team, but league-wide. And Max, I'm sure you've seen the discussions about this. Passing touchdowns are down across the league, right? You've seen that.
Yeah,
everyone's talking about it.
Safeties.
What's that?
We need to ban two high safeties, according
yeah,
to Mel Kiper.
No, I know, right? Mel Kiper's wild for that take there. But look, the league, the NFL, for years, right? Basically, it feels like my entire lifetime was every single year it became more and more of a passing league. Well, that's taking a step back. But I don't think it's that big of a surprise if you've been really paying attention. First off, I'd argue quarterback play has been down across the league the last 5 or 6 years with the retirement of legends, right? Whether he was your guy or not, Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, the list goes on of legendary quarterbacks that have all retired and been replaced with young quarterbacks that a lot of them bounced around the league and maybe come out of the league quickly, right? I mean, Bryce Young was drafted number one. He's now benched, right? Two games into this season. It's just crazy. And so you get this new crop of college quarterbacks, and a lot of them aren't pocket passers anymore. They're dual threat guys. That's taken over the league. And the amount of times that these young quarterbacks get to watch as a backup has also shrunk. I fully believe that the best way to develop your quarterback is what Patrick Mahomes went through, Aaron Rodgers went through, where you sit behind a legend or at least an established veteran and you watch and you get to see how quick the league is. That doesn't really happen anymore, right? Almost every single team has elected to play their rookie or their second-year quarterback rather than going with a veteran because they want to see what the young guys got. Well, that leads to mistakes, right? So you combine quarterback playing down. You combine quarterbacks who like to scramble. And you combine the lack of preseason time. That's probably the biggest factor in my mind, right? They've made the change from 4 preseason games to 3 preseason games. You have less time to prep for your offense, and you're getting lower passing yards and lower passing touchdowns. And I think everybody is saying it, or they're at least thinking it, maybe we should have played these guys more in the preseason. Oh, but they could get injured. Yeah, but look how bad the offenses are the first few weeks of the season. This new style of 3 preseason games and the extra caution teams are using, I mean, Jayden Daniels, among others, only played 3 drives in the preseason. Teams are unprepared for the speed of the NFL game, and offenses are lacking. The first 4 weeks of the season have now become, in my mind, essentially extra preseason games that count. They count on your record. And I expect passing yards and touchdowns to get back closer to the league average probably by week 5 or week 6 if the top quarterbacks are healthy, right? Injuries also play a factor in the drop in numbers. Interceptions are up, passing yards per game are down, and as we enter week 3, we have the fewest touchdown passes through 3 weeks in quite a number of years here. I'm going to read you a few numbers. In 2018, 2 weeks into the season, we had 113 passing touchdowns. We had 69 through 2 weeks this year. How about 300-yard passers? The last 6 years, it's an average of 17 300-yard passers. 5 in 2024. What about guys that just throw for 200 yards, right? That average was 47, down to just 32 this year. I mean, we're talking about a league here that has been dominated by the passing attack, and it's changed. And I would argue that I saw this coming last year, as it was dubbed around the NFL by analysts as the year of the backup quarterback, right? It was the year of the backup quarterback around the league, especially there in the postseason. And I dubbed the 2024 season as the year of the rushing attack, because I expected more teams to run the ball this year, as we saw a slight uptick in that last season. But my point was also the year of the rushing attack, because I'm pointing towards teams using quarterbacks as runners as well as guys that can throw the football. It's not just Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, right? Well, you have 3 new scramblers this year, Caleb Williams, rookie, Jayden Daniels, rookie, and second-year quarterback Anthony Richardson. You're seeing even Baker Mayfield take off and run. Will Levis has that in his game. Daniel Jones, Kyler Murray, Justin Fields as well. So many teams have quarterbacks that like to scramble. And there was a great article by Bill Barnwell of ESPN that talked about how in the National Football League this season, the quarterback scramble has been the most effective play in football, averaging 7.2 yards per play, and passing plays were just averaging 7 yards per play. A lot of quarterbacks throwing it sideways. But when they take off and run, they're running upfield. The quarterback scramble through 2 weeks has been the most effective play in football. And it just ruins a good pass rush. It ruins good coverage in the back end. It's going to force you to play with an extra guy in the box or a quarterback spy. It's definitely a defensive coach's worst nightmare. And Dan Quinn talked about how much it can hurt a good defense when he was talking about how, yeah, I would love for the Bills coach to say, yeah, Josh Allen, don't run this week. Right, and so the reason I bring all this up is because of that's what Jayden Daniels' ability has done to Washington's offense. I have been a fan of this team for 31 years, my entire life. I bleed burgundy and gold. I was a season ticket holder for 17 years. I'd have to look up the last time I watched a game in which we didn't punt. We didn't punt last week. Jayden Daniels was able to effectively pick up some first downs with his legs, with his arms. We ran the ball really effectively. The NFL game has changed, and we've got one of the ones. We've got one of those guys that can be a game changer here in Washington and Jayden Daniels. And I feel like with Jayden Daniels, if he's healthy and he's accurate, he gives us a chance to win every single week. I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs, but I know that's what Chiefs fans feel like, that Mahomes gives them a chance to win every single week. And Jayden's developing. And believe me, I watched the film. He left a lot on the table against the Giants, especially there in the red zone. But 7 really effective drives, points scored on the board. It keeps the momentum. That was a huge game for the offense. I really liked what I saw from them. And it gives me the optimism that we're going to have a chance here to make a statement on Monday Night Football against the Cincinnati Bengals. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Why do you think passing yards per game are down, interceptions are up, and quarterback touchdowns are down through the first 2 weeks of the 2024 season. 1-800-636-1067. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free. Anywhere you get your apps at, AUDACY gives you the ability to pause the show, rewind, run some errands, pick up right where you left off. Talking about the passing yards and touchdowns in the National Football League. And your leader through 2 weeks, I'm not going to count Aaron Rodgers' Thursday Night Football performance, but your leaders through 2 weeks, Brock Purdy, 550 passing yards. Gardner Minshew, second, 533. Matthew Stafford, third. Jared Goff, fourth. Lamar Jackson, fifth. Geno Smith, sixth. C.J. Stroud and Tua, seventh there. If you look at passing touchdowns through just the first 2 weeks of the season, your leaders, Baker Mayfield with five, and Derek Carr with five. Sam Darnold right behind him with four. I mean, it's kind of wild when you see who's been the best quarterbacks in the NFL this season. Maybe we should have seen it coming with Baker. 28 touchdowns to 10 interceptions last year, made the playoffs, and won a playoff game. Derek Carr with a much better start to the season this year than last year. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go out to the phone lines here. Let's go to line one. We've got Fawad in Silver Spring. What's going on, man?
Hey, Awad, how's it going, man? I appreciate your content, especially on Twitter. You're a good follow.
Thanks, man.
I think it's not really just a problem about football. It's more so a problem in sports. I'm a big, like, international soccer fan, too, and basketball. So you see this whole trend of optimization and just wanting to really lean heavy into analytics. And so I think a lot of teams are like, you know, we want to maximize our possessions, limit the other team's possessions. And so you see a lot of teams playing a lot more risk-averse. But it's funny that you mentioned Purdy. One of the things that can definitely help open up the passing game is, you know, getting back to the basics and running the ball. You know, Jordan Mason is averaging like, what, 5-6 yards a carry. So it's not a coincidence that when you're able to run the ball effectively, that safety has to get down in the box, and then stuff over the top is going to start opening up. So I think it'll come back. It'll be cyclical, but it's just a pattern of the time that we're in right now. But it'll eventually, you know, even itself out.
So do you not think it has everything to do with the limited preseason?
I think that definitely has a part to play in it too. I also do think quarterbacks just in general now, like they're receiving a lot more instruction. So it's like, if it's not completely there, it's almost as if they're coached to not trust their instincts and just, you know, keep it safe. You're not going to go broke making a profit. And I think that has something to play with it too, but yeah, they're not really playing too. So maybe in a couple more weeks, once people are more into a rhythm, that might also have a part to play in it.
Yeah, appreciate you chiming in, man. Thanks for the call. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. I just look around the league now, right, and I just see so many quarterbacks that not just have the ability to scramble, but it's a big part of their game, right? And so I'd point to Kyler Murray first. I mean, man, has he been really good this season and kind of, I think, shocked a lot of people, right? Like, the Cardinals are going to be in football games this year if he stays healthy with him and Marvin Harrison Jr. Man, was that fun to watch last week as they just destroyed a Rams team 41-10 and really could have beaten the Bills week one when they lost 34-28. That's going to be a good game Sunday. It's actually my certified NFL game of the week, guaranteeing NFL fans around the country will enjoy watching this one. It's Arizona at home against the Detroit Lions. I'm expecting a ton of points being scored in that one. That's my take as the game of the week. All right, if you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. But as we continue here through some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL through the first 2 weeks, Josh Allen has the three touchdowns. He also has two on the ground, right? And Josh Allen is a guy that his ability to run, it makes the Bills' offense so much more dynamic because he can be a pocket passer that could throw for 350 yards. And he also can do some of the things that all the scrambling quarterbacks can do because he likes to run into the contact. He tries to jump over people. He's been so much fun to watch. Jalen Hurts, statistically, has been really good this season, although his team definitely let him down there on Monday Night Football. I blame the defense for the Eagles. When you play prevent, you prevent your team from winning. But Jalen Hurts, two games into this season here, has just really done a great job of scrambling and picking up first downs with his legs when his guys are not open. Of course, we know about Patrick Mahomes. Every year he does it. It's always the same. Anthony Richardson this year has statistically been really good because he's been boom or bust. He's only completing below 50% of his passes, right? But he also has the most completions over 50 yards, right? He had two of them to Alec Pierce last week. Anthony Richardson, we know about his running ability, but him, it's been the deep bomb keeping his team in the game. C.J. Stroud, really unbelievable. Two games into the season, 2 years, 1 year and two games into his career here. He looks like he's already established himself as the leader of this next crop of quarterback talent. I mean, I just think C.J. Stroud looks like a veteran already at times here for the Houston Texans, and it feels like the Texans are going to easily win that division. It will be a good battle for him on the road in Minnesota against Sam Darnold and the Vikings. And Sam Darnold, right, deserves credit here for the way he started this season. I know the Vikings coming into this season, I said, hey, they're in a win-now mode here with Kevin O'Connell, and they've got this rookie quarterback who they're going to give a shot to win some games this year in J.J. McCarthy. But then when he went down, everyone was like, oh, the season's over for the Vikings. And Justin Jefferson said, hold on a second. Aaron Jones said, I got still some left in the tank here, and Sam Darnold has been really efficient for this Vikings team here 2 games into the season. So it's a weird group of quarterbacks that are dominating right now. You got to mention Kirk Cousins as well with that game-winning drive for the Falcons. And so it might not be the names we're all recognizing at the top here, like usual, with Joe Burrow not being towards the top. Trevor Lawrence is towards the bottom so far this season. Jared Goff has been, his team has been good, but I think Jared Goff has definitely left some things on the field this season. He has turnovers that he was much better at doing last year in terms of controlling the ball. And so it's funny how quarterback play has changed in the National Football League, and you're seeing guys that have the ability to pick up a first down with their legs have a ton of success. And Washington's got one of those guys in Jaden Daniels. So let's get to Jaden Daniels. He, of course, is always going to be your lead topic when you're talking about the Washington Commanders this season, because I think most of us in the fan base agree that Jaden's development is more important than wins and losses. Because I'm not in for this one-year wonder, right? I don't want Dan Quinn to win 10 games his first year as the head coach and then never get over that mark again, right? I don't want the Ron Rivera treatment where you peak your first year as the head coach. We're building something here. And so I think Jaden improved from week one to week two, and Jaden's improvement from the start of the season to the end of the season is the most important thing on the table this season for the Commanders. Hopefully we get some wins to get some confidence for Jaden and the rest of the players in the locker room there, but his development is at the forefront. It is the most important thing this season. What have you liked from Jaden 2 weeks in the season, and what do you want him to improve on? I'll tell you real quickly here. I love his mindset of, hey, I'm going to just pick up the first down with the legs. I'm going to try to make a guy miss here, get downfield. I love it, but at the same time, that's when I'm most worried that he's going to get hurt, right? He picked up that 3rd and 14. He got popped, right? He picked up another 3rd and 12, took a hit from 2 different guys there. That's when I get worried, but also that's what makes him elite. So it's going to be something to monitor this season. But, man, he's got to be able to stay healthy, because that's the most important thing this season. We're going to talk about the Washington Commanders and their opportunity to make a statement with a win on Monday Night Football. If you want to chime in, it's 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. You can use the Odyssey app for free to check me out Monday through Friday. I'm in Richmond, Virginia. Just search 910 The Fan. You can hear AWOD Radio from 12 to 3 p.m. talking all things NFL and your Washington Commanders. Let's go right out to the phone lines here. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. We've got Matt in Stafford. What's up, Matt?
Hey, we're going to talk about Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, but first, I got a spy report for you.
Yeah.
You want to go ahead and hit the sounder with me as if they were hitting the button on three? Oh,
okay.
One, two, three. Come on, you got to hit it with me, Adam.
I'm not running. I can't press the spy report button. That's on Max here. He doesn't
spy
have
report.
It. Yeah.
JP Flame. He was reminiscing about you giving him a ride one day.
Uh-huh.
You want to guess what he was joning about?
What was he joning about?
Oh, trash on the floor.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of JP.
Yeah.
He was saying he liked Mel Kiper's take on limiting the secondary, and I mean, that couldn't be more of a horrible idea. In the NFL cyclical, they're going to catch up. They're running the ball more now. So that take is, you know, horrible. So I'll Joan on JP Flame one time for you, bud.
Appreciate that.
So, Commanders, though. They have a quarterback that can win any game, doesn't matter who the opponent is. Once you have somebody like that, I mean, the sky's the limit. He's proven that he can do it. He's shown that he's still the fastest guy on the field, even in the pros, and he's got poise and he's got confidence, and the whole team absorbs that. And they put that forward, so you got a confident team that can win any game.
Yeah, and I think that Cliff Kingsbury deserves a lot of credit for slowly bringing Jaden along here. I look at what Chicago's done, and they're putting way too much on the plate for Caleb Williams. They're just making it too difficult for him. And, of course, we're going to get to the audio of the Bengals cornerback saying it's a college offense. They're making it simple for him. But, yeah, they're making it simple for him. And he has been electric in this simple offense, and they're going to slowly start adding some shots down the field, and they're slowly going to start expanding this offense here. So I like the way they've handled Jaden Daniels 2 weeks into the season. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. So we all know the Commanders' weakness 2 games into this season has been the defensive side of the ball, but offensively, man, Jaden has been really good, and it gives Washington an opportunity to make a statement with this game on Monday Night Football. So first, they got the monkey off their back, the first victory over the Giants in a couple years. Next up, a chance to change the mindset of the fan base with a primetime win, right? I know a lot of us feel like, oh, it's primetime, here we go again. We're going to get blown out, embarrassed on national television. We're going to just be made fun of for the rest of the week. Well, this is an opportunity because everyone's picking against Washington. They're all going Bengals. It's an opportunity because it's a nationally televised game. And Dan Quinn's motto all offseason, anybody, anywhere, anytime, right? That was his motto. Well, Monday's a great chance to see that. Anybody, anywhere, anytime. If that's what he's been preaching and if the players believe in it, now's the time to show it. And it's about showing up, playing competitive in all three phases, and giving your team a chance to win. And the three highest-paid players have been the most disappointing 2 weeks into the season. Terry McLaurin, Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen. They have a chance to respond under the bright lights in Cincinnati. And I feel like all three of those guys will really step up, right? And I'd argue there are factors out of their control for why they haven't shown up as much statistically in the box score through 2 games. For Terry McLaurin, I really just think it comes down to the fact that they are running a simplified offense where they're going to target the tight end more, and Jaden Daniels hasn't been able to meet the timing on the connection with Terry so far. They got one on the out route last week. That's going to continue to improve. For Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne, I do think it has to do with the amount of double teams they're facing, and teams are just saying, hey, we're going to let Cleveland Farrow and Dorrance Armstrong go one-on-one. Until those guys are effective, Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen are going to face the double teams. They need Johnny Newton to step in here, play more snaps, and give them a breather so that they can go in on Monday and make a difference. So I do think there's some factors out of their control for why we haven't seen those guys really show up and make some big plays. And I think Monday night would be a great chance for them to get back to their winning ways. And look, any game is winnable in the National Football League, but the Bengals are a very good, high-powered offense. When they're on and cooking, to me, they haven't been great this season. The record's 0-2. Everybody's going to talk about how good they looked against the Chiefs until they didn't when they lost that game, right? And a lot of people are going off of preseason hype. Oh, it's Ja'Marr Chase. It's Joe Burrow. It's a team that's been to the Super Bowl, been to a conference championship game. They're always a playoff team. Not so fast, right? I'm going to say, what have you done for me lately, Cincinnati Bengals? 2 weeks into the season, you got rocked by the Patriots, who we all just watched Aaron Rodgers go up and down the field on them with ease. You got rocked by the Patriots, right? That's not nothing right there. You have not won a game. You have no win to your team's name this season, Bengals. And so, yes, they've got a lot to prove, but they've got to prove to me that they can win a game here on Monday Night Football. And the Commanders cannot just let them win off of preseason hype, right? We've got to make them execute. We've got to make them beat us. Cannot have Washington cough up the ball and have a special teams disaster on the road. I love our chances of making this a dogfight. Here's a few reasons why. The biggest weakness right now for the Cincinnati Bengals is their defensive line outside of Trey Hendrickson. They don't have a good pass rusher. They also have not shown the ability to stop the run. Ramondre Stevenson ran over them. I like B. Robin Eckler more than Ramondre Stevenson. A bunch of missed tackles in that Chiefs game. Explosive plays over and over again. And turnovers, right? That plays right into Washington's game plan. We're going to force feed B. Robin Eckler. And then Joe Burrow has all these great weapons, right? Well, one, they haven't been healthy. But two, is he going to have the time to get it to them? He has really not done a good job this season of extending plays. And I think it's because we all know Joe Burrow's not 100% healthy. And the Bengals would argue, well, we'll take an 80% Joe Burrow over half the league, and that might be true. But we're talking about a not 100% healthy Joe Burrow, and Washington has to use that to their advantage with some good pressure by the defensive schemes here. Design a way to get some really good pressure on Joe Burrow early in this game. But I definitely think this is a winnable game for Washington. Defensively, we can do one thing that the Giants did to us last week, right? If the Bengals get to the red zone, force them to kick field goals. Red zone success is quietly becoming a huge factor in wins and losses in the National Football League. You look around the league, teams that have put 7 points on the board when they got there, they win more games than the teams that have to kick field goals. And so it's as simple as that, right? Washington's got to get some pass rush on Joe Burrow. I hope we're going to be able to establish the run and have some really good drives down the field. And then when we get to the red zone, we've got to convert, and we got to stop the Bengals from getting into the back of the end zone. The Commanders have a couple weaknesses in their game on the defensive side of the ball, from missed tackles to missed sacks, but the biggest issue has been the broken coverages and miscommunications in the back end, and that cannot happen anymore. I point to the red zone play for the New York Giants, in which they had three wide receivers on the left and we had three secondary guys against them. But for some reason, Malik Nabers was wide open into the end zone. How does that make sense? How do you put three guys over there and then as soon as they run the route, two guys go with the same guy? Those miscommunications can't happen. That's some Ron Rivera junk. That's some Jack Del Rio BS. I'm over that. All right, so Dan Quinn, Joe Witt Jr., you have to clean that up this week. But the thing is this season, I actually do trust the coaching staff to clean things up. I think the talent level on defense is what it is, right? We have a weak secondary, all right? The talent at defensive line can start playing better, right, because they can start developing more chemistry with Luvu Wagner, and we know Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen can play at a higher level. But we have problems in the defense. I actually trust this coaching staff to clean it up a little bit. We have problems in the secondary. You got to get more pressure. You got to get more pressure immediately so that they don't have time to get things going downfield. But I think the biggest explosive plays the Giants had, and a little bit less the Bucs, was just like miscommunications defensively. How about the play where Malik Nabers just ran across our defense and Michael Davis ran into big-ass Bobby Wagner's shoulder, right? He just ran into his own guy, and so a simple drag route becomes a 35-yard game and a huge explosive play because the communication's not there and needs to be better, and I think this coaching staff can clean that up. And then offensively, we've got to start getting the ball down the field, but Jaden Daniels is developing slowly, and I think they will take more shots on Monday Night Football, as you know they want to get Terry McLaurin involved early and often. We want to take more of your phone calls today. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. You can chime in. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Give me a call. 1-800-636-1067. Tweet us your thoughts. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. Appreciate Sports Grumpy, Juan, 12th Man, Keith, and Paul letting me know they're listening on Twitter. You can take the show with you on the go with the Odyssey app. Max, you're running the ones and twos today. What have you liked, what you've seen from Jaden Daniels so far, man?
There's a lot to like, but there's also just things here and there that, like, it's just going to take time for a rookie to develop.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people need to realize that it's going to take time. Like, NFL defenses are a lot different than they are in college. Guys are a lot faster. Windows are a lot smaller. Now, I think he's going to adjust rather quickly. I think he might be able to, blow everybody out of the water on Monday night. But it really will. It's just a wait and see kind of thing for me.
Yeah, give him time. Look, he hasn't had a turnover yet. You look around the league, a lot of quarterbacks have coughed it up multiple times. Jaden Daniels' fumbles have luckily gone out of bounds or into the arms of his teammate here. So I love Cold Stone Creamery and ice cream. We're going to do a little like it, love it, want some more of it here for the 2024 Washington Commanders. We're two games into the season, but we finally beat the New York Giants. So we're talking about a positive football team right now that's coming off of a win. We'll call this a victory Saturday on AWOD Radio. So like it, I like Jaden's ability to run. I really like Jaden's ability to run. I've been saying Cliff and Jaden have a relationship that's going to take some time to grow. But I think Cliff will realize as this season goes along here, man, I don't need to call these designed runs, these quarterback keepers, because Jaden will run on my passing plays. And sometimes that's going to drive an offense coordinator crazy, right? Like, I've got these route concepts here to get these people open, and then Jaden just drops back to pass and takes off to run himself. But Jaden has just this innate feeling deep down in him when to take off, when it's time to get those legs moving and get out of the pocket there to avoid the rush. Jaden's ability to run has been the thing that I liked so much this season, probably the most. Obviously, we're all scared when he takes pops there, but you got to like the way Jaden runs. I like the way they run Brian Robinson up the middle. Just unbelievable running in that game against the Giants on 3rd-and-1, where he basically pulled a Houdini, right? We ran it up the middle. He disappeared. And then the next time you see him, he's behind the defense running towards the end zone, and the Giants were able to track him down. But B-Rob running with physicality has been awesome. I like the way they've fed Zach Ertz as well, right? I always say a quarterback's best friend is your tight end. That connection between Jaden and Zach Ertz was on full display against the Giants. There was a part in the game where Zach Ertz was unguardable, where the Giants put somebody that was either too small or too slow on Zach Ertz. They had to foul him. They had to, defensive hold, and he still made the play. And he had the emotion of a leader. I really like the way they fed Zach Ertz and the way he played. I love the way Washington converted on 3rd downs against the Giants. I love the way we had explosive plays to Eckler. Of course, he tried to jump over that guy. The explosive play to Noah Brown. Love the way we've gotten some explosive plays on offense. I also love the way Frankie Louvu hits. He has quietly become my favorite player on the Washington Commanders defense. Max, I'm obsessed with watching Frankie Louvu. Like, there's plays where I just literally watch Louvu. That's all I do. And every single play that I watch Louvu, he finds a way to get to the football, right? I mean, how fast was he tracking down Malik Nabers? He went 30 yards out of his way to get a pop on Malik Nabers, who had to leave the game for a concussion test. That's how hard he hit him. Frankie Louvu, I love the way he runs around the field in a Commander's uniform. I feel like we haven't had a linebacker like that. You know, I don't even think it's like London Fletcher as much, because Louvu's such a hard hitter. I obviously, he's had a few missed tackles and a few missed sack opportunities, but I love the way Frankie Louvu runs around the field. Dan Quinn keeps talking about how much he's enjoyed that as well. When you talk about the defense, you got to give love to the 4 guys that Joe Witt Jr. called out. Benjamin St. Juice, I love that he created a turnover. Quan Martin, I love the way he hits when he comes up to help in the running a game. And then Joe Witt Jr. also pointed to two other guys playing his style of defense, violence, and that was Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu. What I want some more of, right? Like it, love it, want some more of it. I want some more Terry McLaurin. I know that they force-fed it. Basically, week one, they threw screen passes to week two. Cliff said, well, if we're going to throw screen passes, let's get him to Terry McLaurin. It just wasn't successful. And then Jaden force-fed it to him on a play up the middle, and he got a big hit there. I think Jaden and Terry need to develop a better relationship, and the only way that they're going to do that is Cliff Kingsbury finding a way to get Terry McLaurin more involved here. And maybe it is just more of these screen passes to him. Maybe it's some more comeback routes. I'd like to see them give Terry McLaurin a chance to win on a one-on-one deep shot like they had week one against Tampa Bay. You know what I want some more of? Is I want some more Lamonte Zaccheaus end-arounds. They tried it against the Giants, and the blocking was there. Jalen Phillips made an incredible play, got off a block by McLaurin, and made the tackle behind the line of scrimmage. But Zaccheaus has got the speed there and some quickness. He's shifty. I want to see them try that again with him. I want some more pressure from the defensive line. We keep talking about it with Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen. I need more from them. I want more. I need more from Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne. And I think that's been the conversation all week long on DC Sports Radio, which has been the fan base clamoring for more from Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen. Dan Quinn heard you guys, right? He talked about it with the media, the amount of double teams that they've been facing, and maybe he wants to do some things where he loops those guys or something like they want to change the schemes a little bit on the defensive line so those guys can get more pressure, but we need more pressure from the defense. And this is something that I thought we were going to get with Dan Quinn was a lot more sacks this season. We have not seen it yet. I feel like they've been really close. Maybe they've been just going against two good quarterbacks that are able to get rid of the ball. I mean, Baker Mayfield did an incredible job of making us miss in the backfield. And then Daniel Jones, you know about his ability to run. Joe Burrow's a scrambler as well when he's fully healthy, but you need more pressure from your defensive line. Another thing I want some more of is Austin Ekeler and Brian Robinson on the field at the exact same time, either in the backfield with Jaden or Ekeler lined up as a wide receiver. Those two guys have been our best players, so why not have them both on the field at the exact same time and fake one going one way, have the other one go the other way, and make the defense make a decision. Ekeler is so good. Anytime he's touched the ball, it feels like it's an explosive play, and Brian Robinson played at a Pro Bowl level as a running back last week. Those two guys have been so good, you got to find a way to get them even more involved. I mean, I think that there's a chance that you could see this week Austin Ekeler being used in the more on the first drive of the game. It does feel like they're really giving it to B-Rob to establish things, but I think Eckler's speed could really help getting around the outside, and so that might help Jaden as well. You know, maybe if you do one of those Cliff Kingsbury loves to have Jaden either hand it off or fake it and keep it himself. I'd like to see him do that with Austin Ekeler in the backfield. You know, Ekeler also is a guy that I trust more as a pass blocker than Brian Robinson. Even though Robinson's bigger, Ekeler's got that experience, and I think he needs to use that to help Jaden Daniels. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. It's AWOD on the fan. Let's go to the tweets here. Travis tweets me, AWOD, Cincinnati is getting the benefit of the doubt from local and national media because of player names, not because of their game. Average less than 20 points a game, but because they got Burrow, Higgins, and Chase, they get the benefit of the doubt. I'm absolutely with you. I think we're all talking about preseason hype. The Bengals are 0-2. They haven't even won a game yet this season. Let's go, Commanders fans. I believe we've got a chance to win. 12th man tweets me, AWOD, I like the fact that Daniels is not forcing the ball and takes what the defense is giving him. Terry will be helped with a strong wide receiver number two play. More concerned about Washington's defense. Burrow has a lot of weapons. We need to pressure him early and to his left. I'm totally with you about the pressure. I think we did find out our wide receiver number two is Noah Brown, right? Week one, they had made him inactive, and it was a healthy scratch, and Cliff Kingsbury talked about that. You know, he had an injury in the offseason. They felt like he was still learning the playbook. Week two, we did not beat the New York Giants if it wasn't for the play of Noah Brown. I don't think people are talking enough about the incredible diving catch he made across the middle. Obviously, we love the big play he made on the game-winning drive, right, because that helped us get into field goal range, that 34-yard catch and run. But the number one thing I love about Noah Brown is three targets, three catches. That's what you need from a wide receiver number two. Not sure Jahan Dotson knows that if you watched the Eagles game last week. Can't drop the ball when you're a wide receiver number two and A.J. Brown is out. Noah Brown really stepped up. I think he'll continue to be our wide receiver number two throughout the rest of this season, and that should help Terry McLaurin out. I like how he had six catches. 22 yards, though, 3.7 yards per average. That's got to go up for Terry. It will go up as him and Jayden Daniels develop more chemistry and timing on their routes. I think Jayden did a better job week two throwing to Terry McLaurin on third down, right? Go to your number one guy on third down. I think that's going to continue to develop throughout the rest of the season. Jayden's been so good so far, and we're just 2 weeks into the season, and I still think Cliff Kingsbury has got some creative game plans here and play calls that we have not seen yet that he will unleash. Cliff's trying to do what he didn't do in Arizona, which is he blew his entire playbook 7 weeks into the season, and then people adjusted, and he couldn't make adjustments. And so I think he's really hiding some things for later on in this season. We're going to take a quick commercial break here. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan.